T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall.
We're trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come.
The thing that kind of worries you about the position the Cubs are in right now is they're on the road today. You come back, and then it's Matt Harvey against Cole Hamels. That is a game I'm really looking forward to, because I got to see Cole Hamels be the August Cole Hamels. I was thinking about this the other day. Cole Hamels was just absolutely turned back the clock, got in the time machine. He was fantastic when he first arrived here. And I think that we've seen a little chink in the armor the last couple starts.
A little bit.
What I'm hoping is that Cole Hamels is going to be a guy that wins you two when you get into the playoffs. He's the kind of guy that can
game
do
one,
that.
Game one, game five.
He's the kind of guy that can come back and win a couple, even if it's game two.
Or game one, game four, six, game seven.
Whatever it is. He's got that possibility.
Yeah. He can be your Verlander.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall.
Your morning guy over there.
Mornings on The Score.
And the pitch on the way. Ground ball to third. Rendon goes home. They get one. The throw by Wieters to first. And it is in time for the double play. Might be a little bit shaken up. He's limping ever so slightly. That's not a good sign.
I mean, that's so unfortunate. Oh, my God.
Mully Hall.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Manage along with Joe. It's a fun game to play.
Happy Friday.
Oh, good morning, David. How
good
are
morning.
You,
doing
buddy?
Well. Well, we have plenty to discuss.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Joe Madden, for providing fodder for the entire day of Chicago Sports Radio.
Oh, my God. I mean, there are so many things to touch on and so many, and you know.
There are. That's what happens when a manager has his worst day of the year.
So you're putting it on Joe.
Am I putting what on Joe? Well, they won the game, but they lost the benefit of the doubt again.
Right. And well, the Strope injury is a bad one. And it is very rare that you have a...
That's the lead.
Well, that's it. That's all that matters. It's very rare that you have a reliever hit. But I understood it. I understood that the circle of trust is closed and that he didn't feel like he had options in terms of the ninth inning. Now, you could argue he'd used a lot of guys.
I would argue that.
And that's fair. It's a fair
argument. I would
argue
that you deal and create the problems for yourself when you pull your starting pitcher for very little reason after four innings.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So then you go on to this parade of relief pitchers that goes eight deep. And then when you put yourself in that situation, you are compelled to talk yourself into letting your closer
back. Well, he had
back
21 pitches, so it wasn't like the pitch count was still controllable. Mm-hmm. And he wanted him clearly. He felt he was, you know, I'm with you. But you get to that point, and you got the lead, and clearly you want to. But why not tell the guy, whatever you do, don't swing the bat. Just walk up there and put the bat on your shoulder. I mean,
it's like a quarterback who throws an interception. You say, whatever you do, don't try to make a tackle.
Yes.
Because you're going to put yourself in harm's way. Don't try to leg out an infield grounder because to beat a double play, because you know what? You don't run to first base routinely. You're not conditioned, really. Whatever you want to say about relief pitchers in baseball,
no,
whatever.
They don't do that.
But they're not conditioned to run 90 feet as fast as they can. When you put yourself in those situations, bad things are more likely to happen.
And in this case, Pedro Strop pulls up lame. He you know, felt the hamstring bite, and Joe told Sully, that was the first information I got out of it, that it was going to, you know, be a while.
Couple weeks.
We're
September 14th.
That's so unfortunate. Oh, my God.
It's so
we had one Chicago sports coach apologize earlier in the week when Matt Nagy apologized, and we had another who probably should have yesterday.
He didn't really do that, though, did he?
No, we did not.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if you missed that, but he didn't.
And that was part of the conversation with Matt Nagy. That you know, most coaches don't bother apologizing. They act like the decision.
You're new here,
great.
Aren't you?
Yeah.
But you're in Chicago. You're not going to apologize much
Joe's
more.
Joe's been
than
around
that.
A while. He's not going to tell you I'm sorry.
But look, I'm trying to be fair here.
It's just rough. What an untimely injury.
I don't know that you can come out of that without feeling anything else except for it was avoidable, it was regrettable, and it's going to hurt for a while.
I was in a text exchange with a friend of ours, and he wondered if you needed to do the respect 90 thing with the relief pitcher that doesn't, why put him in a hit and run situation? And I was saying, well, he clearly doesn't trust anybody else. He clearly, he feels like he got away with one by getting a save as it stands.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to try to do that. So I understand him not taking him out. Again, I think you've got to instruct the guy, do not swing the bat.
Well, let's
just
look at
it. Just have it on your shoulder and hope he walks you.
Bases loaded. You have a one-run lead. And you have one out. And you have your historically good pinch hitter on the bench in Tommy La Stella. And you have a situation there. If it were two outs, I would almost understand it more. Because you would probably wouldn't have as much of an opportunity to build a cushion to your lead. And maybe you say, okay, we'll just go up there and, if you make an out. And plus, if he makes, one out, he's not trying to prevent them from getting two and beating the double play. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm trying to look at it that way. I'm trying to see the there is logic. I guess there is a defense to what he did. And what you're saying is logical. But I just think that you put yourself in a situation where you had to have your closer bat because you'd use so many other pitchers. You didn't trust who was left.
It's my bad.
Yeah, I didn't think he said that either. It's just.
Do you think of being
thing.
Over the top? Do you think of
no,
being too
I,
unfair?
No, I don't. I mean, we went through all the scenario. I had roughly the same discussion yesterday, and I think it's difficult to get away from it because you start out with having a reliever, again, a guy that is, not used to running to first base and not conditioned to run to first base. A guy that, he's a baseball player. I know he was an infielder at some point, right? He played other positions, presumably coming up.
Sure.
But,
But he's not this year, not now.
No, I don't know when the last time. I don't know when's the last time he batted? I mean, it's really an interesting issue to talk about because the guy has not been –
Well, here's the thing, too, is that everything is about...
But I'm saying, if you really, really believe you want to leave him in, then have him stand there with a bat on his shoulder and give him the instruction, do not swing. Whatever you do,
or,
don't swing.
Or bunt.
Or do anything.
Or do a safety
squeeze, and then
don't run it out.
And then
don't respect
90. You have 90. Him waiting there. Yeah, you
respect
have him
35.
Waiting there for the ninth. And it's real easy to second guess it now.
Well, it is now. You know why it is easy to second guess, too? Is because Joe had such a bad day to that point. Because there have been so many other things that made you raise an eyebrow and say, okay, you know what? It's easy to second guess a manager in every single day of 162. But
and you mentioned
especially
La Stella,
here.
La Stella, it's very interesting to try to figure out when you could have used him or when you use him. La Stella's there and you have Victor Caratini.
Well,
and you decide to go to Wilson Contreras, which I think was more of as much a defensive replacement idea, right?
I mean, maybe.
I suppose.
I don't know. But you know what? Caratini is a guy who was hot. He'd had 7 runs batted in his last 5 games. And you're going to replace him with a guy who's in a slump. That was questionable. I mean, that was debatable.
Strope had 1 at-bat last August, 3 in his career. Thank you, Kevin.
And I wonder how hard he ran after any of those.
Yeah, I don't know.
So
you pull
Montgomery after 4.
Yeah, that was...
Caratini.
They must have seen something with Montgomery. He there was a hard hit ball, and then did he give up a hit? I don't know. I don't remember. They must have seen something that they didn't like.
I suppose.
Here's the thing. Joe doesn't make any of these moves without the statistical reality behind him. It looks like it's happenstance, but usually these are thought out moves. And the other element with Joe is he will make defensive replacements in the game.
Okay.
So I'm with you.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But, okay.
But I'm with you. I think
Montgomery,
when you make that decision to
Contreras for Caratini, CJ Edwards in a high leverage situation, after telling everybody
you don't know
where he is, and then you're going to put him in a game like
really
that.
That's really where he lost me. That's really where he lost me. And the guy did come in and get a couple outs. And you thought, well, this might work. But then,
it made sense. I understood it. You have
well,
Ben
now
Zobrist.
What do you do with them?
Well, I don't know what you do
I'm
with
just
them
saying,
now.
You know, you thought before the year started, if Morrow, if anything had gone wrong, that C.J. Edwards would wind up being the closer. You felt that way at some point in his career that that might be a role that he wound up in.
Absolutely.
And as
recently as this year.
That's what I'm saying. And you certainly don't feel that way now. And now with Strope down, I mean,
Well, Randy Rosario came in and he was really good. But how sustainable is that?
Well, again.
How much do you count on a guy like that?
A month ago,
he was going to Iowa because he was the odd man out.
I know.
And so everything is about context. So you get to the point of the game where that's where your head is at after watching this Cubs game, which they pull out. Thankful for Javi Baez, who had an MVP-like performance. That was the game where you think he reasserted himself in the MVP race. But you're doubting Joe all day. You're seeing all these moves.
You were second-guessing moves.
And so when that happened, you're like, no, I don't see that.
And when you go to Contreras for Caratini, it's because they make the pitching change, and then you could have come back if you wanted to with Listella, but you would have burned, Contreras, and you'd have to go to who's the third catcher they have?
Well, Schwarber didn't make the trip, did he?
Taylor Davis.
No,
the guy that looks at the camera.
The expanded roster changes a lot of the conversation, but the problem with that is, again, how confident are you in him as your defensive replacement? Although if he's not your defensive replacement, then what's he doing there, right?
I mean, Caratini from the right side obviously isn't as good from the other side. I understand that, but he also it's easy to second guess. It
there are a lot
easy
of things to second guess.
But and then it's just an accumulation of everything.
You did win the game, but did you give up too much to win the game? Did you use too many people? Did you, obviously, the closer getting hurt, you're down to your third closer.
You don't have Brandon Morrow.
The White Sox won a World Series with that.
Okay. Well, geez, you are Mr. Sunshine today.
I'm not Mr. Sunshine. I'm trying to I really believe that as these games go on, I think that Joe is armed with a lot more information. And I'm talking about statistically. I'm talking about form management, understanding who's hot, who isn't, knowing. He saw something with Montgomery. That's where it started. When we start with, oh, my God, the closer got hurt. Why was he batting? Oh, well, because they used so many pitchers. Why did they use so many pitchers? Oh, you eventually get back to the fact that they pulled Montgomery in the fourth inning.
That's
right?
Where it starts.
It's after four. It's hard to sit there and start the formula anywhere else. But you came out of it with the win, and you felt like obviously you wanted to get
that
win.
It was worth the trip. You got the victory, but you return home feeling a little bit unsure about things because your bullpen is in the state that it's in, and you need Cole Hamels to go nine tonight.
Boy,
you need an 89 pitch, nine inning performance from Cole Hamels tonight. Under the Friday night lights against the Reds at Wrigley Field. That's all.
That's it, huh?
That's it.
All right. We'll get to the 5 at 5. We'll be talking about a lot of this. We want to get your reaction to as the show goes on. But
it's a big one.
There's a big NFL weekend coming up. The Bears are not a part of it. They play on Monday night. But there are some really fun and good games to talk about. The White Sox were off. They opened their series in Baltimore with one of the final James Shields starts of his White Sox tenure, or maybe not.
Video tribute?
Probably. Well, not in Baltimore, but but there is plenty to talk about. We'll get to all of it at the 5 at 5. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
This segment presented by the Terra Foundation for American Art. Art Design Chicago offers 30-plus exhibitions, plus talks and tours, artdesignchicago.org. Maybe you should just go see it.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
How much will the Pedro Strop injury damage the Cubs moving forward? And was it too big a risk to have him hit and run?
Well, I guess technically it was closer by committee, right? So now the committee to close the game will have to have another meeting. And Stropey, I would imagine, will not be a part of that for a couple of weeks, at least a week. And I know Brandon Morrow's coming back, but let me ask you something about that.
Is he?
Well, that's a first good question, is he? And then the second question is he effective if he does come back, right? I mean, number one, does he come back? Number two, what kind of form is he in when he returns? So I think these are serious issues, and I think that the fact that, you know, I don't know how you feel about it, David. We talked about it earlier. I don't know that I want to see C.J. Edwards again. I mean, that's how bad he has been, and that's just he's just not – he doesn't have it. It's not hard to look at it. I know you need him. I know you want to fix him, but by putting him into the highest leverage situation, isn't that just a non-starter? You can't even begin thinking about that sort of thing. I don't know what the move is. I don't know, you know, Justin Wilson closed at some point or other. They got options, but they're not, none of them are ideal. And it's a very damaging element for the Cubs. You know, fortunately, the schedule does turn a little bit. Fortunately, coming home to Cincinnati is a bit of a salve. And, you know, other than they got the series at Arizona and they got one at the White Sox, then they have, what, Pittsburgh, and they close it out with St. Louis. So you should be able to get through this. I don't know, though. I mean, it feels like it was a huge loss.
It does. It really does.
Feels as much as delighted as you were that they won the game and they staved off this this attack from the Brewers. It does feel as if they've hit some watershed mark that might be a bridge too far.
This team doesn't have a day off until next Thursday, and so they're still in the midst of this 30 games scheduled in 30 days that everything was rebuilt around, this idea that they were tired, and they escape Washington, and the headline is Cubs survive Nationals, comma, Joe Maddon. And you know, they put themselves in the situation now, so they do have a committee to close games now. I think Pedro Strop was very good at the head of that committee, 11 out of 13 save opportunities, but now he's not going to be there for a couple weeks. You have a game and a half lead. You have nothing to feel that comfortable about. The Reds are in town, so that's a winnable series, but it's still you go to Arizona and you're still mentally fatigued, and now you have this to deal with. So the Cubs could end up being better for all this. I think there's an argument that could be made that, boy, if they can actually get into the playoffs, survive all this adversity, they're going to be better for having survived it. But I think that
again, who's coming back as the closer then?
Is either Steve Cishek or Justin Wilson, as you mentioned, who has history doing it, or depending on matchups,
Chavez.
Maybe just Chavez. That's a guy who emerges.
But my point is, to be better coming out of it, that would mean Morrow comes back and is good. Or, you know, when a guy goes down with a hamstring, where's Jason Hayward? How long has he been out with a hamstring? I understand he's playing a different position, but guess what? You need your hamstring.
Well, better
pitch
for having coming out of it. So maybe Strop comes back at the end of the month. Maybe Morrow is a piece in your bullpen. Maybe whoever steps forward in this opportunity
turns into
a Bobby Jenks. I don't know, but you have to look at it that way if you're the Cubs and you're tired and you just escape Washington with a victory that feels like a loss.
Sounds like a wish and a prayer. Is it possible for the Cubs to just play a game, win or lose, and just move on? There's always a lot going on, whether it's weather or controversial decisions by Maddon, injuries, debridement surgery.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
That debridement.
Every day.
It's like somebody who's like, oh, drama follows me around everywhere. Maybe you're the problem.
I've never said that, Kevin.
Will the Strop injury damage the Cubs moving forward? Yeah, even if they end up winning the division, yeah, it looks like it's going to damage them. I mean, I think they're going to win the NL Central. It's a game and a half, and we have very little baseball left. Now, one of the reasons it's going to hurt them is something you guys just touched on, C.J. Edwards. You don't know what you're going to get from him. He's going through one of those periods, and it seems to happen every single year. He just cannot find his control. And as Mully put in the first segment, the circle of trust. Who's in that circle of trust? Cishek right now? After you've just used him up all season? Now you see that wear and tear. Kinsler? No, he's struggled a lot since coming here. The most dependable reliever, is it Justin Wilson right now? Of all your healthy guys.
Look at the numbers, yes.
That's where they are. Justin Wilson is their top option. As far as the risk, having him out there, I totally understand it. You didn't want to go to a ninth pitcher yesterday. You didn't know how long that game was going to go. You still have another week before a day off. You have to win that game. So in Strope's mind, if he legs that out, if he's safe, maybe we get another insurance run because we really need this game. We can't make this a half-game lead and then going back home. We can't have that. So I get it on both ends. I get it from Madden's point of view, and I also get Strope just trying to extend the inning, trying to help his team get a victory.
You know, it's obviously a huge loss. Just yesterday we were talking about how the bullpen has already been so worn down this season. You bring up Steve Cishek, 72 appearances for the guy already this season. Justin Wilson not that far behind at 66. I'm still not convinced Brandon Morrow's coming back anytime soon. CJ Edwards, you guys have been over that. I mean, you can't trust him in any sort of situation. And now you lose Strope. It's a really bad timing for this to happen, you know, down the stretch run, trying to beat the Brewers out for this division when, you know, all year long starters have only been going five innings, six innings. And then yesterday, Mike Montgomery gives you what? Two innings? I mean, Joe Maddon's already pitching like it's game six of the World Series, and we're not even close to the playoffs yet. He's, I don't know if he's panicking or if he's overthinking it, but he's really bungling it up quite a bit. And having Pedro Strop in there yesterday, I guess I can understand if you want to leave him in the game, you put him up to the plate, but tell him, you know, this is a guy who's had knee injuries and tissue injuries before in his legs. You know, he's got kind of a history of it. Don't overexert yourself, Pedro. It was bad on all accounts there, and it took all of the air out of what should have been a big win for the Cubs, but it was an absolute disaster, and it's going to really, really affect their bullpen poorly here.
Well, even before that, I don't like to bitch and moan, believe it or not, about the length of baseball games, but boy, that game like took everything out of me. I started watching the game. I started listening to the game on the radio. And then I was so infuriated with Rizzo trying to be a pig by getting a nice hit to lead off and then trying to stretch it to a double.
A pig?
Yes, a pig. Everybody likes pork. Nobody likes a pig. I like a pork chop. I don't like a whole pig.
What about those little teacup pigs, the cute ones that you hold in your arms? You feed them a little baby bottle.
I've been to the petting zoo lately.
I think he'd have made it, Dustin, if he hadn't stopped to kind of roll around in the mud.
Well, he had his jersey on for too many days straight, so it was probably a little tight on him.
Oink, oink. I moved from the basement to the upstairs television. Then I went outside, kept trying to change the mojo. It worked, but boy, I think Joe learned from the night before when the Brewers acted like it was game seven or the wild card game and the way they managed and played that game at Wrigley Field the night before. Joe went for it, and they won. Listen, they needed that win. They absolutely needed that win, but I don't understand why it would have been so hard. And you mentioned it before the first segment of the show, Molly. You know, fine, Pedro, go up there. Don't swing. You're not allowed. You were just not allowed to swing the bat. Where was that message? And even if that message was given, Joe's not the type of guy who's going to rat the guy out, right? They're not going to say, well, we told him not to swing. He swung anyway. It made no sense. You have Tommy La Stella. That's what Tommy La Stella is there for. Bases loaded, 10th inning, one out. That's Tommy La Stella time. That was about 5:30 something, right? That was, forget about 3 a.m. Tommy. That was 5:30 Tommy. That's when you needed to see Tommy La Stella. What are they going to do with the bullpen? I don't know. Well, Steve Cishek, that's fine. I can deal with that. He can be the closer. It's going to be a matchup thing. Just match them up. Good thing the rosters have been extended and expanded and all that kind of stuff. Crossing my fingers, crossing my toes. We'll see what happens.
Well, it's a couple of good questions.
Will the trip to Washington, an extra inning, and Pedro Strop's injury impact the Cubs series with Cincinnati?
I think that we just talked about how it's going to impact the series of Cincinnati. You're going to have a tired bullpen. You're going to have an untested bullpen. And when in high leverage situations, you need your starters to go deeper into games. You need Joe Maddon to trust his starting pitchers to go deeper into games. So I think you have a tired team. That didn't change. I mean, you had players still complaining about the MLB decision to make them go to Washington after the game. Mike Montgomery was outspoken about that. You found a way to win yesterday. You found a way because Javi Baez put himself back in the MVP race with authority, and he had his first home run since September 2nd. These are good things, but how does it affect Cincinnati? You have a tired team that needs to find a way to win two out of three.
Yeah, I feel like there was a moment there. There was a ground ball that Rizzo dove for and missed, and Murphy came behind him and dove for it and missed. And there was just like an extra second where the two guys were laying on the ground. And I thought, wow, they're kind of a tired team.
They're gassed.
And then I saw, you know, a lot of the tired mistakes being made by Washington. And I thought, you know, they look just as tired because the ball, they weren't fielding the ball as cleanly as you would imagine. I don't know how this kind of march through Washington will affect them. I think the Strope injury is going to have an impact. I think if you get through tonight's game, I think it's a huge start for Cole Hamels, who was just exceptional when he first came here and has been good but not unhittable since then. I think, you know, August Cole Hamels is the guy you want to start in the playoffs. September Cole Hamels might be on the verge of losing it a little bit. So tonight is a huge, huge game for him. Just to make you feel like everything you've seen thus far is sustainable. And obviously you need that come playoff time. And I mean, I went from feeling like he's the guy that you line him up and he's going to win two games for you in a playoff series. And now I'm kind of hoping that I wasn't wrong about that. I don't think he's melted down or anything, but maybe there is that potential. I don't know. So it's a huge, huge game for a guy like that. Because he needs to bail out the bullpen. I feel like if they get this game tonight, then they're okay against Cincinnati. If they lose this game, that just jacks up everything, doesn't it? And then all of a sudden, maybe you lose two or three games in a series. I just think it's a huge game tonight.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't been spending a lot of time talking about the starting pitching, and that's a good thing because that means that they've been just fine. They haven't been the main story. And for this weekend, for the next couple of weeks, that's what they're saying, at least a couple of weeks, so throughout the rest of the season, regular season, they're going to continue to need the starting pitching to keep on rolling. And that's what it's going to depend on as far as this Strope injury over the final couple of weeks here. Now, looking at the pitching matchups, you would think it would be fine for the series with Cincinnati. It isn't as easy tonight. You do have Hamels on your side, but Harvey on the other side. But then over the weekend, you're facing Cody Reed and Luis Castillo, and you have Lester and Quintana going. So as long as the starting pitching shows up, gives some relief to that bullpen, and you don't have to use 7-8 guys like they've been using over the last couple days, as far as this weekend goes, I think they'll be all right.
Yeah, you know, you see Cincinnati pop up on the Cubs schedule about 45 times a year, so this is really good timing for them. Bad team, can score some runs. They do have Matt Harvey going tonight, but as Joe just pointed out, the Cubs have the advantage massively in terms of the starting pitching. I think these are probably the three best guys you've got going right now, best case scenario, with Hamels, Lester, and Quintana, the three southpaws going, scheduled to go this weekend. Hamels has regressed a little bit. You know, you would have expected that. He's not going to be a one ERA guy for the rest of the season, but now it's to be determined whether that was kind of just, you know, the rush of being traded and kind of, you know, that adrenaline and geeking yourself up to get back into a pennant race. Like, oh yeah, I remember this. I'm fired up. And maybe that adrenaline is sort of worn off a little bit, and he's kind of regressing back into actual 2018 Cole Hamels. That remains to be seen. John Lester's back. Is that fine? I mean, we haven't even really talked about that. He says he's fine. Of course, he's going to say he's fine. He's John Lester. He's never going to admit weakness or anything like that. He's a tough guy. So hopefully, you're hoping these guys can go deep into games because, I mean, we've covered the bullpen ad nauseum. They're completely worn out. And not only the physical exhaustion, but all these guys can talk about is how tired they are all the time, which can't help matters either. So, of course, losing Strope and the road trip and 30 days and everything we've heard is going to impact them massively. And after Cincinnati, I'm already looking toward this series in Arizona. That's not an easy flight to make. We've all made that flight before. And Arizona's a pretty damn good team. So while you've got the Reds, a little bit of a respite here, it doesn't get much easier starting Monday.
Yeah, they've got to take care of business at Wrigley this weekend, and I think they will. I mean, I think the players are going to have a good – they should have had a nice rest on that plane last night. Hopefully they're all resting right now. Hopefully Joe doesn't have them. He's continuing the Legion ball week, at least for one more day. Like, there's no need for them to get there at 2 o'clock or at noon and batting practice and all that jazz. Rizzo can just change his uniform very quickly and roll right out to first base. So that's what I hope. That's what I hope happens. But Mola, you're right. I mean, this game tonight, this is going to set the tone. How they come through tonight's game will set the tone, and I mean that from the offense needs to get going too. I mean, great. It's somebody else other than Javi Baez and Chris Bryan had some decent at bats yesterday, the big moments. But somebody's got to do something. Somebody else has to pick up Javi Baez a little bit. I mean, that was an MVP type game for Javi Baez yesterday, right? I mean, the moments, the hits, all that kind of stuff puts him back up 3-2. Lays down the bunt to give him the four three lead. That's MVP caliber stuff, and somebody else on the team needs to do that. He can't do it all by himself.
Dustin, great question.
Will the Cubs still be in first place by Monday, and will they be in first place by the end of next week?
Let's say some sooth here. I really thought they were going to lose the game yesterday. I just thought that the concern about the travel woes and all the rest of it, I thought that they would go 2-2. I think they would lose a game against Cincinnati and lose the Washington game. I talked about that yesterday. I don't know if it was on the air or off the air when we were discussing that. So I don't know if that's enough for them to lose first place. I think that is a huge win. Beating Washington was a huge win, especially – I mean, I know they paid a big price for it, but especially 10 innings and especially having the lead a couple of times and watching that team come back on them, I mean, that would have been a real gut punch if you somehow melted down and came out of that thing with a loss and you lose your closer and all the rest of it. That's tough stuff. So I'm pleased that they won the game, and I think it does give them a little bit of jolt. Dustin, I think you're right about that. You get home in your own bed and you sleep and you show up at the ballpark tonight and you know, again, Cole Hamels, you know, if he's got the adrenaline flowing, Kevin, then he's going to be good, and he knows what he has to do, and he is an old war horse that knows exactly what he has to do tonight. So I think that's a good thing to put the pressure on him, and we'll find out more about him today. So I think they'll still be in first place now by Monday. As far as the end of next week, that's the danger zone. That's really, I think it'll depend on Milwaukee's form, and I think that they've been kind of slump-proof given a couple of those outfielders and the way that they are playing.
You have to do a lot of scoreboard watching. You look ahead, you'll see the Brewers have a 6-game homestand. They start tonight with the Pirates. Interesting matchup, Gio Gonzalez and Archer for the Pirates. You think that they're going to probably come out of that needing to win 2 out of 3. They then host the Reds. You end up projecting a lot. I think the Cubs will be in first place on Monday morning. After the Arizona series, I feel less confident, because if it's still, it's a game and a half lead right now, and that's pretty tenuous, and it's not a tight grip. It's a loose one. So I don't feel confident saying in a week from today they're going to be in first place when they wake up Friday morning after their off day. I think they could be tied. I think they could be, you know, in second place. I think they have an opportunity going to Arizona, but it's a tough one because, you know, they have talked themselves into being mentally fatigued. And the more they talk about it, the more tired they probably sound. And so, yes, on Monday, up for grabs the end of the week. It wouldn't surprise me if they fall into second.
Yeah, we just addressed that. We think they'll be fine through Cincinnati. Now 6 of 9, you can go through next week. They have the White Sox after Arizona. That's going to be a tough trip. But then they go back to down to the South Side to face the White Sox. So what is Milwaukee doing? They've won 8 of 10. They could keep this strong streak going. They also have Cincinnati early next week, but they have Pittsburgh for 6 of their next 9 games. So through next week, they have 2 series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Brewers are 4-9 against the Pirates this season. So I think the Cubs will be in first place by the end of next week.
See, for me, that 4-9 record against a mediocre Pirates team,
it's going to come back.
Yeah, I think that's going to balance out a little bit. Yeah. So, but that's just, you know, how I'm looking at it. You know, the Cubs are obviously under the cosh right now. I mean, Milwaukee is just relentless. They're just unbelievably hot right now. And they have three with St. Louis in a couple weeks. But other than that, all teams at 500 or below for the Brewers. So the schedule a little bit cushier. Not that it's, you know, horrible for the Cubs, but I mentioned that series against Arizona. And then finally ending the season versus St. Louis. I still don't know if that series is going to matter. But more and more as we grow closer to it, it looks like it's going to. They'll definitely be in first place by Monday. I have no faith in the Reds to win two out of three at Wrigley or God forbid, sweep the Cubs at home. But by the end of next week, you know, I'm starting to have my doubts a little bit. One thing I do think for the Cubs offense, and Dustin brought it up, Chris Bryant coming back, he looks like he's rounding back into form. And if you can get him going right again, that's going to reverberate throughout your entire lineup and be able to take some of the pressure off of Rizzo and off of Javier Baez. So I think the offense is due for one of those little upticks, and right now would be the perfect time to get it. So I think they're definitely in first place by Monday. By the end of next week, I'll cop out. I'll say that they'll be tied.
Cop out and they'll be tied. Oh, boy, this is compelling and rich stuff right here. It's all about tonight. I keep going back to tonight. It's tonight, tonight, tonight. You win tonight, I think, yes, Monday morning they're in first place. I think you lose tonight, they're not in first place come Monday morning. Go battling Buccos, right? I've never knew I was going to be a big Pittsburgh Pirate fan and wearing black and gold and making sure I get some alerts every time the Pirates score a run and things
like
that.
We are family.
Yeah, we are family. I used to love Willie Stargell back in the day. I used to try to have that batting stance kind of wiggle-waggle thing that he had going. I love that guy. And Arizona, that's tough. They've not been good at Arizona. Not a good place for the Cubs. So I think I'm actually with Kevin on this. I think at this point next week they will be tied for first place.
Oh. Man, you can't be throwing 55 questions at me. Let me answer the first one.
Do you believe the way the Bears play against Seattle after a gut punch loss at Green Bay will determine how their season goes?
No, I don't. I think that you could get fooled into believing that. I think that if they lose and they start to go 0-2 and everything is about how they lose, 0-2 doesn't mean they're going to be, you know, 4-12. Conversely, I don't think 1-1 means they're going to the playoffs. I think the Bears are a very typical NFL team in that every week is a season in itself, and you got to look at it that you start over. And if you beat the Seahawks on Monday night, you enjoy it on Tuesday, and then you get back to work. I don't see this as a young team that is capable of using one game to define themselves over the course of the next month or 2 months or 3 months. If they were a more veteran team, I'd say, okay, yeah, they're gonna get on a roll. They're going to establish some traits and go from there. But this is not that team. This is the Bears. This is a lot of young players on offense trying to figure it out, a lot of new players trying to play together for the first time. I do think they're going to play very well against the Seahawks, but I don't think I'm going to come out of that thinking, okay, that showed me that they can now be 10-6. I think it'll show me that they can, you know, recover nicely, and there might be some good positive things, but I don't know that it's a barometer for the rest of the year.
Since 2007, 83 teams have started 0-2, and 9, which is 10.8%, have turned it around to make the playoffs in that season. Usually, that's because it's an indication that you're a bad team to begin with. I don't know that statistic will hold true with the Bears this year, because I think given the fact that they had such a they made the moves they made, and they had so many guys, essential players, down before the start of the season. And, you know, I'm just saying Akeem Hicks missed a lot of time, Roquan with the contract thing, and obviously trading for Khalil Mack, arguably their three best players on the team, let alone on the defense. No offense, Jordan Howard. I think the Bears have a formula in which they can use to win, and I think that if they start 0-2, they could be one of these teams that improves as the season goes on, because those players will get acclimated to what they're doing. But it is definitely not a good thing, and David, you are absolutely right. It depends on the way they lose. If they lose in a similar fashion, if they look like they should win and find a way to lose, now we're going to have a conversation about learning how to win and how long does that take and how do you go about it. But They showed enough signs of life against Green Bay. Obviously, Khalil Mack was unbelievable in that game, and Akeem was very good in that game, and Roquan flashed, which means he'll be better in 2 or 3 weeks than you see him right now, and will be playing presumably in a couple weeks, if not this week, more. And they got a running game. So I do believe that this is one of those rare teams where the 0-2 start isn't as reflective of their talent level as usually in most NFL seasons. A really rough statistic, 10% of the teams, just under 11% of the teams make the playoffs after an 0-2 start. That's not on your side.
Yep. Saints were one of the few last year. Now, it's funny, outside of Chicago, people are walking away more impressed with the Bears outside of Chicago. Their odds for the Super Bowl went down. They're favored this weekend against Seattle. They're favored on the road next week. Arizona's awful, it looks like. They're favored next week, and then they have Tampa Bay. They might be favored 3 consecutive weeks, but a lot will depend on how they perform on Monday night. A lot of times when teams have a blowout loss, I expect that team to bounce back after an embarrassment, especially on national TV. When you have a deflating loss like the Bears on Sunday night, a lot of times I'll pick against that team because it just kind of hangs over them for a little bit. Now, as far as this week goes, will it determine how they look the rest of the season? I don't think so. As you guys mentioned, they are still so young. Roquan Smith is going to start to get more snaps. He's going to be a better player as long as he's healthy in the second half of the season. Trubisky has 13 career NFL starts, along with his 13 college starts. So I think that this team will look quite different, even though it may be a tougher schedule in the second half of the season.
Normally, I would say no, that one game won't determine how the rest of their season unfolds. But I'm really down on Seattle this year. I think they're really bad. And, you know, obviously Russell Wilson's still a great quarterback, but now he's missing his top receiver. That running back situation's been a mess for a couple years, and the defense is nowhere near where it was a few years back. So I think that if the Bears play poorly on Monday night, it could be a bad omen going forward, because this is a game at home against a team you are better than at a lot of different positions. I think the Bears should win this game. I don't want to say handily, but I think if they lose, then, you know, maybe you start to not feel so good about, you know, that new excitement that we had going into the season with Matt Nagy and Khalil Mack and the offense and you know, all is well now because we've got an innovative mind in the building and all of these things and the narrative. So I think if you lose to a Seattle team who I don't think is very good, the narrative might change a little bit. So I think it's a bigger game than most Week 2 matchups at home might be.
Of course I do. Absolutely. I'm hearing too much Green Bay chatter up there. I would like our Bears to pull a Bill Belichick and say, we're on to Seattle. We're on to the Seahawks. I get it. They were asked questions and they're playing nice with the media, but let's turn the page already. Okay, it's Friday, and all day yesterday at Hallis Hall, it was like a 70-30 split. Packers. Let's go. Come on, you got to put that one to bed, and that's on Nagy, right? He's got to get them focused on the task at hand, and right now that's the Seattle Seahawks. So yes, if they come out flat, you need to see the energy level in the first half you saw Sunday night up at Lambeau Field. You need to see that for 4 straight quarters down at the lakefront Monday night.
Well, that's a great question.
What was your biggest impression of Mitch Trubisky's 14-minute session with reporters Thursday, in which he explained his thought process against the Packers?
I liked it. I liked what he had to say. I agreed with everything he had to say about the how you go about a final drive and the way that you go about it. I also feel, I don't want to say that he was prepped or that it was rehearsed, but I think that he was echoing a lot of coaching points that you'd have after a game like that. I think that, you know, Mitch, sometimes when I watch him play, I'm not a Mitch skeptic. I'm not one of these guys that thinks it can't happen. But I do believe it's going to take time. And I think when he talks about patience in terms of holding the ball and all that, I'm trying to be patient in terms of the way I evaluate him. And I think, you know, when I watch him, sometimes I feel like he's going through a thought process and he's remembering things. And I felt the same way as I watched him speak. I just felt like you know, he was echoing a lot of the really good coaching points that he had heard. And I don't want to say that it was a robotic performance or that it was, you know, scripted or anything like that. But I thought he said the right things because he's being coached that way.
Well, I loved it because everyone was thinking and asking him about it. And I thought he was thorough. I thought he was transparent. And I thought it showed some a degree of self-awareness when you realize, number one, what you missed. And number two, the reaction to what you missed is going to be the perception you're going to deal with in this job. He also said he had the best job in the world. And I love that his, you know, reality is he's accepting this mantle. He's accepting the responsibility that comes with it. But I have to say that my overall reaction then after acknowledging all that was, boy, this is a guy that I just wrote in today's Tribune. He needs to think less and react more. And he just confirmed everything that we said about how he is, everything's going through his head. And you want a thinking man's quarterback, right? But you also want a guy that just reacts and uses his athleticism. And his answer was almost confirmation of everything we've been saying about him. You know, I see this, and then I'm thinking this. And you can see the wheels turning in his head when he's in the pocket, and that's the problem. Once he begins to react more and think less, he'll be a better quarterback.
And that still can happen.
It still can happen.
But it's not. He's not quite there yet.
He's not. And that reminded us. Exactly, this is all part of the development. It's all part of the progression. He's making progress. He really is.
Yes.
But yesterday was a reminder just how much progress he still has to make.
Trey Burton's still wide open in the back of the end zone, by the way. My takeaway was he seemed frustrated. And I think that's a good thing. Because he wants to improve. He wants to be better. And you better believe that he's hearing all about these other young quarterbacks and what Sam Darnold did on Monday. He may have seen that. And he's hearing about Mahomes and what Watson is going to do eventually. And he kept it close against the Patriots over the weekend. But he just seems eager and he wants to improve. It's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really think too much of it. You talk about a thinking man's quarterback. Tom Brady might be the greatest quarterback of all time, and he's dumb as a rock. So as long as you can, you know, read a playbook, you disagree?
I don't, he's not dumb as a rock.
Okay, maybe a stone. He's not exactly the brightest, but yeah, you get into Michigan because of his academics, right? I don't know. I didn't really put too much stock into anything he said. He's a young quarterback. He's learning. You know, Mully, you've said it a couple times before. We don't know what quarterback development looks like in this city, so it's hard for me to evaluate anything that has happened with Mitch so far. I'm more interested in Jalen Ramsey and what he said yesterday regarding Rob Gronkowski and the Jaguars-Patriots game, which I will be looking forward to this weekend, perhaps even more than the Bears game on Monday, dare I say.
I mean, I'm glad he talked. I'm glad he took ownership, but I'm done with the talk. Let's walk the walk now. Enough. It's time for Mitchell Trubisky to stop talking and start doing it on the field. I'm glad he wants to get better. I want him to get better too. Okay? Now show us that you can get better. We all want to get better, but can you actually get better? That's the question.
We're better here every day, and this segment is brought to you by Sport Clips. Check in online at sportclips.com/check-in and claim your spot today.
All right, we've had our turn. It is your time. 312-644-6767. How much will the Pedro Strop injury damage the Cubs moving forward? Was it too big a risk to have him hit and run? How did they get there? Will the trip to Washington and the extra inning and Strop's injury impact this series against Cincinnati? Will the Cubs still be in first place by Monday? What about the end of next week? And do you believe that the way the Bears play against Seattle after that gut punch loss to Green Bay will determine how their season goes? What about Mitchell Trubisky? What was your biggest takeaway from the 14-minute session with reporters, from what you're watching and learning from his reaction to the Packer game? And did you like the way he explained his thought process? 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.